All right. In the week since the election was called, politicians have made their pitch to voters on every available platform, including social media, of course, where apps like Snapchat and Instagram are being used to try and deliver a more personal message, a more personalised message. Ariel Bogle is technology reporter with the Science Unit here at the ABC. She's been keeping track of how the pollies are doing their digital campaigning. Ariel, hello there.
Good morning, Fran.
So, Ariel, where are we seeing candidates, particularly the leaders perhaps, but candidates, spending most of their time online?
Well, I'd just like to talk for a moment about the ads that they're running on Facebook. So the Liberal Party and the Labor Party are, of course, running a whole series of ads from their main Facebook pages. And I just think it tells a bit of an interesting story about their narrative at this point in the campaign. So I guess Labor voters are perhaps skew younger, or at least the Labor Party is relying on younger voters. So in fact, a lot of the ads this week have been targeting people, encouraging them to enroll to vote. I saw one pretty embarrassing meme seemed to be focused at young people with some Black Eyed Peas lyrics and some pretty crazy graphics.
When you say it's embarrassing, you say it's a little naff. Is that
a little naff? Okay. A little naff. But, you know, maybe it translates. Then the Liberal Party as well is running ads on Facebook that seem to skew to an older audience, perhaps, you know, more emphasis on the quote unquote retirement tax, the franking credit debate, and it just in general negative campaigning around Labor's quote unquote mismanagement.
So that's all par for the course. You'd expect all that. Is there anything different? Are there any different platforms they're using this time?
Sure. I've been quite surprised to see how strong they are on Instagram stories. So people might be familiar with the Instagram app. You upload photos, you scroll through, but Instagram stories is this, appears at the top of the app. You click on the button when you see Bill Shorten or Scott Morrison, and then you can see this short form content that only lasts 24 hours. Yesterday, Scott Morrison, for example, was in Tasmania and he had a lot of photos and videos. A lot of carrots. But he had a lot of photos of himself in a pub, you know, throwing a paper airplane for some reason. I guess trying to make it more personalised, that sort of folksy touch.
How popular, or how many people go to the stories on Instagram?
Well, these are... They have a couple of thousand followers. They're not the, you know, most popular figures on Instagram. They are competing with content from, you know, celebrities and others who have millions of followers. But it's healthy and I suppose it's growing and they are trying to create a more personal relationship with the voter than would be through the Facebook ads, for example.
And Facebook is a platform where younger people have sort of mainly deserted, as I understand it. They've gone to Instagram, they've gone to Snapchat. The Prime Minister's using Snapchat too, I think. Is that right? Are both sides using it?
Yes, certainly in 2016 election, we saw Snapchat activity then too. I think Ed Husic was quite notorious for his love of Snapchat at that time. So we are seeing this spread across many different platforms. And I guess as political journalists, you've got to be on top of all of them.
In the UK, a UKIP candidate caused some controversy recently when he invited supporters to join his campaign on Discord, which is, I think, a chat room for people who play video games. Why was that controversial?
Well, this gentleman, his name is Carl Benjamin. His YouTube name is Sargon of Akkad. He's right. A big YouTuber and also a candidate for the Conservative Party, UKIP. But I think what's interesting about this is it shows this spread of candidates across all these different platforms online. So as you mentioned, Discord is very popular with gamers, but it also has that element of, I suppose, like platforms like Reddit and 8chan, it has that unsavory element. And people were very easily able to find on his Discord channel rhetoric around wanting to kill EU politicians. And I guess when you approach these online platforms that some politicians might not be overly familiar with, they do come up against some of the worst of the internet, and it's questionable about whether they're able to handle that message.
I know you're looking closely at the engagement of our politicians in this election online. Is there a lot of engagement back? Is there a lot of cross-engagement that you're seeing?
With people talking back to them? And yeah, it's a good question. I think at the moment, as you've probably mentioned on this platform, on this station, people are a bit jaded at the moment about politics, and a lot of the rhetoric I've seen, the comment sections on Facebook or the comments under photos on Instagram, skews a bit negative, I would have to say. There doesn't seem to be an incredible amount of positive dialogue, but maybe that will change when they start talking about issues that people care about.
All right, just finally, Ariel, you're working on a new ABC project called The Hidden Campaign, and you're asking the public, voters, to send the ABC any questionable election content they see. What are you looking for? What do you mean by questionable?
That's right. We're looking for absolutely anything. So if it gives you pause, send it in. It's called the Hidden Campaign. If you just Google Hidden Campaign ABC, you'll find an online form. And you can upload things like text messages if you're getting unsolicited texts from a politician, if you're getting robocalls, if you're getting emails, if you're seeing weird memes on the internet, pamphlets or online ads. We'd really encourage you to take a screenshot or take a photo and send it in, and we'd love to take a look.
Okay, Hidden Campaign.
ABC, yeah.
Hidden Campaign ABC.
Yes.
All right, Ariel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
She's on the case. Ariel Bogle, our technology reporter at the ABC Science Unit. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 28 minutes to 9.